Ephesians chapter 2. And you he has made alive, you who were once dead through your sins. You used to walk in sin, according to the way of this world, the spirit that works in those who are disobedient, among whom also we had our way of life in the past, living in the lust of the flesh, doing the desires of whatever our flesh and mind demanded, and were the children of condemnation, like others. That is, we were going to be condemned. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and resurrected us with him, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, he's referring here to baptism. Because when you go into the water, that's like death with Jesus, and when you come up out of the water, that's like resurrection with him. So by being baptized, you're recognizing that you have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And yet, just as Jesus died and rose again, after that, he ascended up into heaven. And Paul says it's the same with us. After we were baptized, we are, he says, in heavenly places in Christ. And therefore, we're a long way away from the life that we used to live, just doing whatever our flesh or our mind told us to do. So, the flesh doesn't refer to your skin. It refers to your mind, the natural mind, that's always suggesting to us to sin and to do bad things. And he says here that the people of the world just live in the flesh. They do whatever feels good or seems good. Whereas we realize that we have this flesh that must be overcome by the Spirit. And there is another way to live, not just doing whatever we naturally fancy, but living in the way of the Spirit of Jesus and the life and living of Jesus. So this is all, he says, so that in the ages to come, he might show the great riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest anybody should boast. Because we are his workmanship, that is, he has done the works created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has planned beforehand that we should do. So, he's saying that it's not of works, it's of grace. That is, God came into our lives, connected us with Jesus Christ, and is working on us to make us into the image of Jesus. But the response to that is that we do good works. That you can't just say, oh yeah, all this wonderful grace, all this rich grace that he's going to pour out on me forever and ever, and he's already started that now. Oh well, yeah, I just get on and do my thing. If you really grasp that, then you will really give your life in doing good works. And he says here that those good works were planned from the beginning of the world. So, for example, maybe it was planned at the beginning of the world that somebody should run a soup kitchen for the homeless in Riga, Latvia, at such and such a time, and that's what they were intended to do. And so the path of their life led them to that, for example. So we've all got those good deeds, or good works, if you like, which were planned for us from the beginning. A man is never better than when he's going in the way that God wants him to go. And God will provide. If our sole aim in life is to do what God wants us to do, rather than doing what we want to do, and going according to the desires of our own flesh and just self-pleasure. So he goes on, wherefore remember that in the past you were Gentiles in the flesh. At that time you were separated from Christ. You were alienated from the family of Israel. You had no part in the covenants of the promises. That's the promises to Abraham, David, about salvation. You had no hope. And you are without God in the world. So, without Jesus Christ, we are without God. We have got no hope. we were outside of Jesus and outside the family of God. So you see there how other religions are not going to lead you to the true hope. There is only one hope, and that is in Jesus. For Jesus is our peace, who has united the Jew and Gentile, breaking down the wall that divided us, and has abolished within him the law of commandments that was in all the law of Moses, that he might make in himself one new person, so making peace, and might reconcile both Jew and Gentile in one body unto God through the cross. And he has come and preached peace to you who were once far off, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit unto the Father. So then, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the believers and of the family of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So we're all bricks, and we're being built up. We are being used by God to be built up as part of a holy temple. You are also being built together so that God can come and live in you through the Spirit. All the time you keep reading about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. So God is living in us through his Spirit, and he is working with us to make us part of a temple that will last forever. Now, if you are a brick, it means you've got to get on with the bricks next to you. Because that's the figure of it all, isn't it? So, it's like being a part of the human body, which we read about yesterday in Ephesians, that you've got to get on and function with others. And that's a very difficult thing to do, especially maybe they don't want to function with you. But that is absolutely critical. And we are being prepared now to be part of an eternal temple, which will be together with others. So you cannot tell anyone else who's a believer, I don't want anything to do with you, get out, I'm not part of, you're not part of our building or whatever. If they're a brick, they're a brick, and you've got to be with them and be made fit to nestle up next to them.